And hello, everybody. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J right here on radio.dominican.edu. We are playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Okay, now, it's been kind of a nice day today. We've had some pretty good weather. It was raining a little last night, if any of you noticed. Just some random news. There is going to be an illusionist coming here to Dominican University tonight at 8 o'clock. Scratch that. 8:30. I'm thinking about going. It looks like it could be some fun. Voodoo and all that jazz. It's pretty fun, if you ask me. Okay, so today's band that we are going to be playing is going to be Firehouse. They are an American rock band that formed in Charlotte, North Carolina in 1989. The band reached stardom during the early 1990s with hit singles like Don't Treat Me Bad, Reach for the Sky, and All She Wrote, as well as their signature ballads I Live My Life for You, Love of a Lifetime, and When I Look into Your Eyes. Today, I am hoping to be playing All She Wrote, Don't Treat Me Bad, Overnight Sensation, which wasn't a single, but is a personal favorite song of mine that the band wrote, Love of a Lifetime, Reach for the Sky, and When I Look into Your Eyes. At the 1992 American Music Awards, Firehouse won the award for Favorite Heavy Metal /Hard Rock New Artist. And believe it or not, they were chosen over new bands such as Nirvana and Alice in Chains. Nirvana, as you know, are a grunge rock band, and grunge rock was really starting to come out in the 1990s. Shout out to the late but great Kurt Cobain, by the way. Anyway, as the 1990s progressed, the band remained very popular in Asia, mainly in countries like Japan, Thailand, India, Malaysia, the Philippines, Indonesia, and Singapore. They also maintained popularity in North America, South America, and Europe. Firehouse continued to release new material throughout the late 1990s and into the early 2000s, most of which has successfully charted in Japan. The band has also continued to tour internationally as of 2007, having participated twice in the annual Rock Never Stops tour with other bands of the 1980s and some of the 1990s. Firehouse is estimated to have sold over 7 million albums worldwide since their debut. Originally composed of vocalist CJ Snare, guitarist Bill Leverty, drummer Michael Foster, and bassist Perry Richardson, the band has maintained its original members with the exception of Richardson, who departed in 2000 due to conflict. Probably creative conflict, let me tell you. It happens a lot in rock bands or even any other kind of band. It's really a sad thing if you ask me, especially if the certain member added so much to the band. About a few weeks ago when I was talking about Dokken on the air, I was referring to George Lynch and how he left the band due to creative differences. Anyway, Richardson was replaced three times before current bassist Alan McKenzie was given the position in 2004. Alright, I am going to be playing All She Wrote in a few minutes, but first I'm going to go through some of the history of the band, Firehouse. History. Early beginnings. The history of Firehouse can be traced back to the year 1984 when Bill Leverty's band White Heat needed a drummer. After over 20 auditions, current Firehouse drummer Michael Foster answered the ad. And when Leverty was impressed by his skill, he quickly hired him. When the band wasn't on tour, Leverty and Foster would visit rock clubs, and it was at one of these clubs where they caught sight of a band called Max Warrior. Singing for the band was CJ Snare, the current lead singer, and the band's bassist was Perry Richardson. Since Leverty and Foster were impressed with Snare's vocal ability, they became determined to unite the bands. As soon as Max Warrior broke up, Leverty sent Snare some of his songs and asked him to sing on his tape. Foster and Leverty were again impressed, so they brought Snare into the band's lead singer for a show in Virginia several weeks later. The three-member group took their tape to Perry Richardson, the ex-bassist for Max Warrior, who said he liked it, but had promised the band that he was at the time 6 months of shows. When the 6 months was up, Richardson and his new bandmates moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, and began recording demos in Leverty's bedroom. The band would record all day and play hotel shows at night to earn income. Since Leverty and Foster's band name of White Heat was trademarked, the band chose Firehouse instead. In December 1989, Michael Kaplan of Epic Records flew to New York to see a Firehouse show and told the band immediately following the performance that they were ready for a record deal. The band went into the studio with David Prater as producer. Prater, having produced bands such as Dream Theater and having drummed with Santana... Ooh, Santana. Good guitarist. Anyway, David Prater produced the band's first two albums. All right. I am going to be playing for you next All She Wrote off of their first album, Firehouse, which was released in 1990, which was released in 1990, and the single was released in 1991, and hit number 58 on the U.S. Hot 100. Okay, without further ado, here is All She Wrote. Right here on radio.dominican.edu, playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. All right, here we go, people. And we are playing right now on radio.dominican.edu.
Right away, something else tonight.
And that was all she wrote by Firehouse. Okay, people, I'm gonna talk some more about the band's history. This is going to be success in the 1990s. The band's self-titled debut album in 1990, Firehouse, was met with much critical acclaim. The band won the American Music Award for Best New Hard Rock Heavy Metal Band of 1991, Metal Edge Magazine's Best New Band of 1991, Young Guitars Magazine Best Newcomer of 1991, and Music Life Magazine's Reader Pop poll Best Newcomer of the Year 1992. The band's first album sold over 2 million copies in the United States and was certified double platinum by the RIAA. The band's third and most successful single, Love of a Lifetime, which I hope to play for you on the show this evening, reached number 3 and sold 500,000 copies. Other singles also charted, including the hard-rocking Don't Treat Me Bad, which I'm going to be playing for you next at number 14. The first single from the album, Shake and Tumble, which I unfortunately don't have for you, enjoyed success on the radio and brought attention to the band, but it failed to chart on the pop charts, unfortunately. Although it did at Metal Radio. The album went on to become certified gold in Canada, Singapore, and Japan. The band followed their impressive debut with Hold Your Fire in 1992. Although not as successful as its predecessor, Hold Your Fire produced 3 more hit singles and was certified gold in the USA. To date, Hold Your Fire has sound scanned over 873,000 copies in the United States alone. It is estimated the RIAA will certify Hold Your Fire as platinum in 2008. Singles from Hold Your Fire included Sleeping With You, Reach for the Sky, which I hope to play for you this evening, and the ballad When I Look Into Your Eyes, which I also hope to play for you this evening. Let's just hope that we have enough time. The latter single became a top 40 hit in the United States. For the band's third album, aptly titled 3, they changed producers. Ron Nevison, who had served as producer for Led Zeppelin, good band, Ozzy Osbourne, good artist, Europe, also a good artist, Heart, they're okay, and many other groups, produced this album. That being Ron Nevison. While the band's success had waned in the United States by 3's release in 1995, probably due to the fact that grunge metal was starting to come out with bands like Nirvana and Soundgarden and I'd also say Alice in Chains as well, it brought them more success overseas than ever before. It was certified in several Asian countries, giving the band an opportunity to tour in countries like India and Thailand. The lead single from the album, I Live My Life For You, was the band's third top 20 ballad in the United States. Kenneth J.P. Locke remarked that despite drastic changes in the industry, Firehouse was the only band of its genre that managed to have a top 20 hit as late as 1995 without it having to make drastic changes to their sound. 3 follow-ups, such as Good Acoustics, Three's follow-up, Good Acoustics, was a collection of acoustic arrangements of several of their greatest hits, as well as 4 new songs. Good Acoustics made drastic changes to their sound. And it was produced by the band's guitarist, Bill Leverty. And it went gold in 6 countries around the world, including Malaysia, Thailand, and the Philippines. Tracks In Your Perfect World, You Are My Religion, and Love Don't Care became hits in many Asian countries. After the album's release, the band launched their second tour of Asia, which ended in late 1996, which was followed by another tour of Indonesia, Thailand, and Japan in February 1997, including several sold-out shows. The band returned to Southeast Asia in July and played an unprecedented 25-city sold-out tour of Indonesia. Wow. Let me tell you guys something. This band was huge in Asia, especially in countries like Japan. And during my first show, when I was telling you about Cheap Trick, you know, I gotta admit, turns out Asia must really love music from our country. Don't blame them, though. We got good music. Anyway, after this time, the band, frustrated with their label's lack of promotion in the United States, believe it or not, they were beginning to wane in popularity in the United States, unfortunately, asked to be released from their contract. However, they made a significant and important change when they signed with Pony Canyon from Japan. With the decline of popularity among rock acts of the 80s in the States, and their steady fame in Asia and elsewhere abroad, they agreed and released Category 5 with their new label. They toured heavily throughout Asia during 1998 and 1999, achieving great success with their album. They continued to tour heavily in the United States as well, performing on the first ever Rock Never Stops tour all over America in 1998. This tour featured fellow 1980s rock bands including Slaughter and Quiet Riot. Oh god, I wish I could have gone to see that concert. That would have been awesome. On April 22nd, 1999, Firehouse recorded a live show in Osaka, Japan, and released it with their title Bring 'Em Out Live later that year. Okay, people. Next, I am going to be playing Don't Treat Me Bad. I love that song so much. Why else would I have it on my iPod? All right, here we go. Don't Treat Me Bad, right here on Funk It Up with Dr. J on radio.dominican.edu. We are playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So here is Don't Treat Me Bad by Firehouse off of their album, Firehouse. Okay, here we go. Let's get ready to rock and roll, people. Right here on radio.dominican.edu. All right, here we go.
Well, I never thought you'd hurt me. I guess you live in love. Who ain't blames? Why are you bound to get burned? Well, I've been mistreated. I've been used before. I get kicked in the face till I come back for more. But I won't cry no more. Tears are all in vain. We can pick up the pieces, start it all again. Let's just get back to the way it was before. Oh girl, I can't take anymore. Baby, don't treat me bad. This could be the best thing that you have.
and that was Don't Treat Me Bad by Firehouse, right here on radio.dominican.edu. Okay, folks, it's almost been half an hour now. I am going to be going on to CNN now and seeing what's new in the world today. So, anyway, I am really excited about this illusionist that's coming. I'm really hoping to go and see him tonight. I just think it's going to be a lot of fun. I just think the magicians are awesome. Okay. Well, this is kind of sad for me to look at. It's also kind of happy, but at the same time, it's also kind of sad. The Arab Spring helped to free an Israeli soldier. Now, not that I'm not happy that he's free, I am, but he was traded in exchange for over 1,000 Palestinian prisoners. Now, not that I have anything against the Israelis or against the Palestinians, but still, that seems to be kind of a weak trade, you know what I mean? Anyway, more than 5 years have passed since Palestinian operatives burrowed under the Israeli-Gaza border and captured a 19-year-old Israeli soldier named Gilad Shalit. During those years, efforts to reach an agreement that would free Shalit in exchange for Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails came and went several times, appearing excruciatingly close to success. The best efforts of mediators and negotiators from Germany, Egypt, Israel, and the Palestinian territories always ended in failure until now. Why did Israel and Hamas finally manage to make a deal? Why is Shalit free? Why are hundreds of Palestinians, out of prison, with hundreds more preparing to leave their cells in exchange for the Israelis' release? Maybe it is thousands. Let's see. Well, all I can say is that the answer can be found in the impact of what we have come to know as the Arab Spring, which is, as you may or may not know, a bunch of people in the Middle East in different countries such as Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Libya, so some African countries as well, and others as well, have begun protesting. A lot of them are just sick and tired of being abused by their rulers, I guess. And you know what? Kudos to them. I know that governments are put in place to keep order, etc. But you know what? There is such a thing as abusing your power. I once heard a wise saying once. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's all I can say. All right. So, to continue on, the popular pro-democracy uprisings in the Arab world may or may not achieve democratic exchange across the region, but they have dramatically changed the political landscape of the Arab world. They have threatened the very foundations of the political order, shaking up old alliances and making governments worry about their popular standing. The mass anti-dictatorship demonstrations in Cairo's Tahrir Square across Syria and other parts of the Arab Middle East produced a series of developments in Gaza, Cairo, Ramallia, Damascus, and Jerusalem that culminated in an agreement to free the captives. As the protests exploded across the region, young people in Gaza planned their own demonstrations against their rulers. The militant Islamic organization Hamas, which took power from the Palestinian Authority in a brief but vicious civil war in 2006, the year after Israel decided to end its occupation and remove all its citizens from Gaza. Earlier this year, Hamas decisively put an end to any plan to have a Palestinian spring in Gaza, breaking up protest rallies and raiding the offices of media organizations covering the events. But anti-Hamas sentiment did not evaporate. Polis showed a majority of young Palestinians there would have supported mass protests calling for an end to Hamas rule. Well, let me tell you, good for them. Because all I think that Hamas are just a bunch of violent people that are just bringing a bad name to the region known as the Middle East. It is not a bad region and does not deserve the bad rep that it's getting. However, terrorism, civil war, revolutions, demonstrations, rebellions, revolts, etc. It's given it a bad name, y'all. What can I say? Anyway, next up, I'm going to be playing some more music for you from Firehouse. The next song I hope to play for you is Overnight Sensation, right here on radio.dominican.edu. Okay. I'm also going to be discussing some more of the band's history and whatnot. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the music right here on radio.dominican.edu. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J, and we are playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. That's one full hour of good music, y'all. Okay, here's Overnight Sensation by Firehouse right here on radio.dominican.edu.
You.
And that was Overnight Sensation by Firehouse. Next up, I am going to be playing one of their more popular songs, that being Love of a Lifetime, which actually charted at number 5 on the US Hot 100 in 1991. Love of a Lifetime, off of their first album, which was self-titled, Firehouse, is a power ballad. And I know it's kind of weird that a dude would be talking about weddings and stuff like that. That's usually more of a gal thing. But let me tell you, I would not mind having this song, or When I Look Into Your Eyes, which I also hope to play for you this evening, played as the first song for the first dance, whatever, between the bride and groom. Let me tell you, this is just a great song. And according to a commercial that I saw for a CD collection called Monster Ballads, every bad boy, like me, has his soft side. Here is Love of a Lifetime by Firehouse. Right here on radio.dominican.edu. We are playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J. All right, here we go. Love of a Lifetime by Firehouse. I hope you all enjoy it as much as I do. Here we go.
Love.
that was Love of a Lifetime by Firehouse. Oh, man, I love that song. I love that song so much. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the history, and then I'm going to be playing two more songs for you. Reach for the Sky and When I Look Into Your Eyes. At least I hope to do so, because we only have about 15 minutes left before The Blackout with J-Lit and Special K is on the air. Okay, 2000 and beyond. Sometime in 2000, the band parted ways with bassist Perry Richardson due to personal conflict and hired Bruce Wabel, if I am saying that correctly, who had played in the Greg Allman Band. Greg Allman, one of the two Allman Brothers. So anyway, Bruce Wabel, who had played in the Greg Allman Band for 10 years, Leverty met Wabel in Sarasota, Florida, and was impressed with his bass guitar skills. When the band had an opening for a bassist due to Richardson's departure, Leverty contacted Wabel and asked him to join the band. With Wabel, they recorded their next album, O2, or I guess Oxygen, and toured on the Metal Edge 2002 with Dokken, Rat, Warrant, and LA Guns. Ugh. I would have loved to have seen that tour. After the 12-week tour, Wabel parted ways with the band to spend more time with his family. Sadly, though, in 2003, Wabel died unexpectedly at age 39, and the death was ruled as a suicide. Guitarist Bill Leverty expressed the band's sadness over his death in a statement shortly after the news broke. Initially, Wabel was replaced by Brazilian Dario Cejas, who played bass on the band's 2003 critically acclaimed album, Primetime, but Cejas left the band shortly after, so the band announced that they were in need of a bass player. Alan McKenzie, who was playing bass for the late, great Janie Lane solo project at the time, Janie Lane, one of the former lead singers for the band Warrant, is who I'm talking about. Alan McKenzie sent in his audition tape, and the band agreed that he was the right musician for the job. All right. Next, I'm going to be playing Reach for the Sky, which charted at number 83 on the U.S. Hot 100 in 1992 and is off of their album Hold Your Fire, as well as the next song I plan to play for you, When I Look Into Your Eyes. Okay, here is Reach for the Sky, right here on radio.dominican.edu. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Okay, here we go. Here's Reach for the Sky by Firehouse. I was born to need no one. Okay, that was Reach for the Sky by Firehouse. We're almost out of time, so I'm going to play one more song for you, but first, just a little last bit about the band's history. In December 2004, Firehouse became the first major international rock band to play concert dates in Northeast Asia. The band's first Indian concert date was in Shillong, followed by two more dates in Dimapur and Aizawl. The band's first Indian date in Shillong, if I'm saying that right, was the Maharaja of Tripura. Curate Pradyat Deb Burman invited them, whoever that is, and it took place in front of a sold-out stadium crowd of over 40,000, setting a record for that city. The band toured in 2005, 2006, and launched another tour in 2007, visiting states in the Midwest United States, such as North Dakota, and playing at several festivals, including Rocklahoma. In a March 2007 interview, when asked about the band's next album, guitarist Bill Leverty said, "We plan on going into the studio this coming winter. Hopefully, we'll be able to get all the songs together and record them for a spring/summer release." Regarding the future of the band, CJ Snare commented that this has been an incredible, incredible career. To do something that you love, to be an artist, to be an entertainer, and to actually go out there and have fans all over the world and be able to make a living at it, as long as that's perpetuated, I don't see any reason to ever stop. Wow. That is awesome. Well, as much as I hate to say it, we're almost out of time. I'm going to be playing one more song for you before I have to go off the air. When I Look Into Your Eyes, a power ballad off of the band's album, Hold Your Fire. The single charted at number 8 on the U.S. Hot 100 in the year 1992. Okay. Without further ado, here is When I Look Into Your Eyes, right here on radio.dominican.edu by Firehouse. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J, playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. All right, here we go. Get ready for a total eargasm.